Hi, welcome. You are listening to The Klatch on Voice of Vashon, 101.9 KVSH FMLP.
Boom.
Live right here on our beautiful island of Vashon, Washington. You can stream this episode from our website, voiceofvashon.org, or you can download the brand new app from the App Store. It's recently been updated, and it's a smooth operation. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host today for the next hour or so, as we wend our way through numerous topics, find some humor in daily life, and some thoughts to ponder. We'll be here every second Tuesday of the month, and we hope you'll put it on your calendar. I'm going to put it on mine. With me in the studio are Heidi Skrypek and Susan McCabe, both of whom have ideas and banter of their own. We never know quite what we'll come up with, but we want you to know that our opinions are our opinions and do not reflect the views of KVSH. We've been called the busiest mouse on Vashon, and you might come up with some other names, but for now, we'll go with that.
Let's do that.
Okay. Thank you for tuning in. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Linda.
How are you doing today?
I am well.
It's good to know. Susan, hello.
Hi.
Hi. What'd you doing over there?
Oh, I'm messing with technology.
I see. So let's get a little idea of how we're doing. Heidi, what are you working on these days, and how has last month been for you?
Last month has been splendid. I have been trying to hustle the money tree, get some more freelance work.
Yeah. Your freelance world sort of dried up for a while, didn't it?
Got the same client base, but just a lot less workload on each of those. So I have done the fabulous experience of job interviewing at age 55. And let me tell you, everyone's younger than me.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Yeah.
Does that mean you can bamboozle them easier?
Maybe. There may be some magical powers involved. I was going to say manipulation, but doesn't that sound evil?
That's probably not a good word.
Yeah, but manipulation works when it's working for your environment or your well-being.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
That's what's up with me.
Yeah. And so the gardening continues, and the bees are busy.
Bees are busy. David's got about 30 hives set up right now, which is really good. They're all in the early stages of the garden. I've been transplanting. Actually, realized I'm here in the studio and I have soil in my fingernails because I transplanted arugula this morning.
Oh, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
You know, I had an interesting conversation yesterday with somebody who is fascinated by really tiny things in life. And he was saying that he was sitting in his car in the rain, and just that very light drizzle of a rain that wasn't washing the windshield. And he turned the windshield wipers on, and when it got down, it was this big, thick line of
yellow.
pollen, of yellow. And so he decided he wanted to measure it and just see how much pollen was there.
Yeah.
And he said he measured it, and he got a full teaspoon of pollen off that one wipe.
Wow.
And then he said, and then when you smell it, he said, it's like burying your head in a vat of honey. He said, it smells so good.
It does. Yeah. It's probably edible.
It probably is.
But I would die. I would sneeze.
My head
would blow up.
Oh, yeah. No.
Well, hi, Susan. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah,
the allergies are under control.
Oh, finally.
Yes.
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 That's been a long haul this spring for a lot of us.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm just knocking on whatever I can with the hope that the pollen has reduced. But I am working with fellow environmentalists here on the island to celebrate Earth Day.
Oh, good.
Earth Week, Earth Month.
Mm-hmm.
Look for stuff in the Beachcomber next week.
Okay.
And look for... there's a fantastic event happening at Dig Deep on the 20th.
Oh, is that the Drinks and Dogs one?
No, Drinks and Dogs is on Thursday.
Okay.
But this is a Saturday, and it's going to be replete with booths and people and food and drink and great music and folks who have all kinds of information and opportunities.
And what day is that, Susan?
Saturday, April 20th.
420, baby. There better be 420. Marijuana.
It's in competition. They're having an event at the Euphorium, too, and we're competing with that.
They do a lot of barbecue thing on 420 at the Euphorium.
Yeah.
I haven't been, but I hear the barbecue is fabulous.
That's genius.
It is. It is genius. Yeah.
Start there and then go to Dig.
And then go to Dig. Yeah.
Get the munchies.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I guess that's
do
what
the barbecue.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You know, we're talking about words, basically. We're just talking about the words that make us spin. And I think it'd be really interesting to have a conversation about words and how they affect our lives, how they've affected us as we grew older, or what they meant to us when we were kids. I remember I was about 5 years old, and I was fascinated by the way that adults talked. And I would listen to them speak, and I knew that I didn't know all those words, but I would pretend, you know, as I was a kid, and I was trying to repeat these words, talking to myself. And my Aunt May came to visit my mom. She's my mom's sister. We were walking across the street in town. She's holding my hand, and I said, "Where are we going?" And she said, "Well, I thought we'd go into Ben Franklin and see if we could find your mom a vase." She's from Canada. And I did not know the word vase, but I did not want to say that, you know? So I just walked along, and we picked out a vase. And I said, and so then we had that discussion when I was five, that that's not a vase, it's a vase. And she said, "Well, it depends on," and she was a teacher.
Yeah.
So
great.
We started talking about, that's the first time I remember really questioning words or misunderstanding them or trying to understand them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I came across a website the other day that introduced me to a Portuguese translation book from the 1800s. And it's, I can't remember what it's called, Portuguese to English phrase book.
All right.
And it talks about this guy who wrote this book, and he has no idea what he's talking about. And the things that he says, the translations are really pretty funny in there. And I found a lot of the friendship of a child is a water basket.
Huh.
Which I thought was pretty interesting. And this, you can look at this on public domain. It's on public domain, and it is just really funny about words. And it's rumored that Monty Python stole a lot of it for his dark dictionary.
I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Just a flesh.
Yeah. Of words like that. Here, let's see. For instance, the second chapter is titled Familiar Phrases and Features. Mm. He has spit in my coat. And I have no idea what that means. But then you should take the boy and whip him too much. And here's another one. These apricots. The book was designed to help Portuguese travelers learn English because they were going to America or to Britain, whatever they were doing. So one of them is, these apricots and these peaches make me and to come water in my mouth.
Wow. Yeah.
And then there, he said things like,
oh, the scene that could create.
Yeah, really. And I don't know why he took on this task, because he did not speak English.
Clearly.
He was researching English, trying to make it into Portuguese, back into English. And it just couldn't be done. So he used words like, this is a pork chop keeper. So, you know, words, I'm fascinated by words. And I know we're all writers here. So I know that we all have that penchant for going just a little bit farther in the word world.
True.
Do you have favorite words, or are there words that you don't like in our language?
I'll tell you the word that I am really tired of, and that is amazing.
Oh, God.
Oh, awesome.
Everything is amazing, or awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right, those two. Can't we come up with something else that expresses clearly what's wonderful?
Well, there are a lot of new words coming out now, especially in Gen Z.
They shouldn't be words.
That shouldn't be words. Yes, that's true.
I'm getting a snob. Oh man, I'm getting to be a fogey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I get that.
Riz, come on.
I have words that I can never spell. It doesn't matter how old I am, how many times I've spelled it, how many times I've written it. And one of them, the only one I can think of offhand, is occasion.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough one.
And I never know if it's two C's or two S's.
Right.
And as I think about it now, I know that I spell it with two S's every time, and then I have to do correct. But I can't do it. I just type it, and it comes out.
Accomplish is another one.
I could see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any unfavorite words besides that? Awesome.
And amazing.
Mm-hmm. I hate the word squat. And then there's the proverbial word, moist.
Moist.
You don't like moist?
No.
I think it's kind of a cool word.
I think it's offensive.
Moist. Really? I like squat. I like squat. I like the qua. It's a strong.
Yeah. The qua.
Yeah. Phonetic.
I like qua.
Qua. Squat.
You know, words I don't like have long been a topic in my life. I just, I've talked about it before, and I remember talking to one woman about it one day, and her word that she could not stand to even hear, it sent her into fits, was noodle.
Hi!
You didn't say noodle around her.
You know, it makes you wonder what the background for that response might be.
What happened?
Yeah, what happened to her with noodles?
Yeah.
Was she beaten with a wet noodle?
Oh.
See, I think it sounds like nude and she's uptight about nudity.
Yeah, that could be.
And she doesn't even know it.
Right.
That could be. That could be true. And so do you guys know anything about Gen X's words?
I am Gen X.
Yeah, you are.
You're Gen X?
I am, absolutely. I am right in the middle of Gen X.
Okay, who's the one below you?
Millennials.
Wow.
You mean younger than me?
Yeah.
Millennials.
Not below. Yeah.
Well.
And so you have different words.
Yeah, I suppose.
So, Madam Gen X, tell us.
But what do you want to know about my generation, Brad?
My generation. Well, there are so many words that they're like shortened words or combinations of words. Mm-hmm.
That's a big one.
Combinations.
Yeah.
100%. I just know that like is a terrible thing too. I need to banish that. Oh,
that's another one. Yeah, that's another one that makes me crazy.
Like,
which instead
one?
Of I said.
Oh, I said like.
Like, yeah,
it was like, yeah, it was like
in writing, in journalistic writing, I've noticed the newer generations are not using such as, and they're using like.
Yes, but even broadcast journalists, broadcast journalists,
I've
are using
that too.
Like, I was like.
Oh, that.
I was like standing there and like the guy came over and like I just.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I made a horrible mistake. I'm talking about Gen Z.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
not and the words and the words that they use. And I have a couple here. Yes. So so here's a word. Yes. Glow up.
Oh yeah, a glow up.
A glow up.
Sure.
A makeover. Okay, what's a glow up? Oh, makeover.
Yeah. Do you know what stan is?
Yes.
What is it?
I support, I stand with.
No.
Yes.
Stan, STAN.
A stan is someone that you get behind. And so you can have it as a verb or you can have it as a noun. And if it's like, I stand with my biatches.
Yeah.
It means I support you 100%.
It also means it's a combination of stalker and fan.
Oh, that's new.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Interesting.
Yeah. And I thought W.
Just the letter?
Mm-hmm. Just means win. W.
Oh, like
as in win?
Win. You won.
I'm a winner?
Or if you said something really smart, I would just say W.
That's cute.
Means you won.
That's cute.
That's cute. And dank.
Oh, yeah.
It's something of high quality.
The dank.
Something. D-A-N-K?
D-A-N-K. Yep.
Its origins are in marijuana.
Oh.
The dank.
You know a lot about Gen Z. Yeah. Well, for a Gen Xer.
Yeah, she knows a lot about words, this one.
The dank weed. That's funny. That's not how about, elevated.
How about salty?
Salty.
Salty. I think that is sort of cranky.
Jealous.
Yeah. People
salty
outside
is
the window.
Jealous?
People outside the window. Hi.
People outside the window.
Hi. Hello.
Come closer so I can see you. Come this way.
Come closer. We want to see you.
Okay, here's a quiz. The word salty. Oh, my God, you're so beautiful. The word salty does that mean?
Cranky?
Or does it mean?
Jealous.
Jealous.
It used to mean, you know, the old salty.
It means cranky. A little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Good thing we have experts outside.
Yeah, we do.
We got
welcome to Vashon.
You could go either way. All right.
Yeah, interesting. I love that.
Thanks, guys.
And then, you know, there's big yikes.
Big yikes.
Oh, yeah. Big yikes. Oh, sure. Big yikes.
Well, okay, that's pretty clear.
And the one that I really loved was C-H-E-U-G-Y.
C-H-E-U-G-Y.
I've seen this
Chugi?
One.
Chugi. It is not at all trendy. That's okay. what it's so like maybe that's like old fashioned or stupid or
dull or
dull. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, I need more of these.
Weird. Yeah.
And then a simp?
Somebody who's stupid?
No. It's someone who does way too much for the person they have a crush on.
Oh, like simpatico.
Wow. What's the
I can see that.
What's the derivation of that? So it's simpatico. Okay.
Simpatico.
Too simp.
Ooh. Yeah, I see that. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
I really like it. And then what about a snack?
I know this one.
Snack?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a person you find attractive.
Someone you want to bang.
Oh, I like that. He's a snack.
Oh,
he's
Heidi,
a real
of course.
Snack.
He's a real snack. And then there's one more that I like too, is camp. Something that is ironically trendy. One might consider Crocs to be of the camp aesthetic.
I see.
Crocs are back now.
Yes, yeah. I know.
And they're very trendy.
And they come in many different styles.
Oh, and colors. Yes, yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Good for the feet.
I like them.
I've never been able to make myself wear them. I can't wear them.
It's hard to shake once you're in them. Oh, man. They're so comfortable.
I have this terrible thing, though. I equate Crocs with Mario Batali.
Oh, that's, well, the chef's origin, I get
yeah.
it. Oh, and he's...
And he's
yeah.
a... Mm.
He's... what's one of our new words? He's
Chugi. Not a snack.
Chugi.
He's Chugi.
Yes, he's... And he's not dank.
I really love these new words, you know?
Those are good.
And I suppose they're going to end up in the dictionary at some point, you know?
Well,
I mean,
it's
the language is changing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Early on, I was all about learning how to spell words. And mm-hmm. because we were poor, and if you won the spelling contest each week in second grade, you got free movie tickets. And,
cool.
And so I started to become a very good speller. And yeah, and words are so powerful. Serendipity. I love that word.
I love that word.
I just like the melody
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, it's
my
very
favorite
melodious.
Word is reconnoiter. I love that word, and I remember when I learned it, sixth grade, studying Lewis and Clark and their journey, and they reconnoitered with somebody. And then they had a rendezvous.
That's a good word.
And those, I can remember Miss Summers, my teacher, just standing there talking about these words. I loved the words,
all of them,
reconnoiter. And that's you never really get to use it,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, how often?
Well, let's reconnoiter for coffee.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah.
I like the ones that are way out there, like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yes. Did we ever figure out what that really means?
I don't know what that really means, honestly.
It doesn't mean something, does it?
It makes me think of Mary Poppins.
Yeah. And maybe it doesn't mean anything.
No, I don't think it does, really.
It's just it's a word.
It's a way to play with your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. It's speech warm-up.
Yeah.
I like it.
It could be, yeah. Linoleum is another good word.
Who?
Linoleum.
Lino. Yeah.
Like lino cut?
Lino cut, yes. You know, we should probably do a little sponsor thank you.
Just a quick Aruni.
A quick one.
Hello,
we couldn't do
Voices
it without
Vashon
our sponsors.
Programming support is brought to you by Cafe Vino Olio, featuring house-made bagels and Fioretta coffee expertly roasted and prepared. Or enjoy wine by the glass and a baked treat in their Vashon Town Cafe. Don't forget grab-and-go specialty wines and pantry items on your way out. For hours of operation and to find out more, call 206-999-4742.
Voice of Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support, making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVashon.com.
And we're back.
Hi, everybody. And thank you to our sponsors. We could not do this without you. I have one little thing I would like to say in that, you know, we had a major repair in our studio this last couple of weeks. We lost our main board and had to buy a new one. And it was $4,500. So that's really kind of out of our budget. And so if anybody out there would like to make some donations, send a check, help us out with that, it'd be really great, because we really do depend on you. We run on a very thin budget. So thank you, sponsors. We appreciate your help very much.
Go to voiceoffashion.org/donate.
And you
yes, thank you.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. Okay, let's get back to words.
Yeah.
What was our next subject about words?
Fairy tales.
Oh, yeah, fairy tales. And songs, how we learned things about ourselves through words when we were younger. Mm-hmm. And I think about the songs that I was especially affected by as a young, maybe adolescent girl, were all about his kiss is magic, and if I do this and if I do that, he'll come to me, and or my boyfriend's back and you're gonna be in trouble, you know, all those things. And when I was a little girl, my mom listened to Rosemary Clooney, so her songs were all about love and about how wonderful it is and
what
how
a voice.
Good the man is, you know.
Yeah.
So I think I learned a lot of expectation through music and fairy tales. I think. How about you, Susan?
You know, there are songs that go even farther back and that reflect our culture and its attitude toward women. And one of them is Someone to Watch Over Me.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of manipulative.
Yeah.
Someone to watch over me. Someone who'll take care of me. My man, I love him so.
Yeah.
He may have other girls, but that's okay, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not getting the lyrics right.
Yeah.
But it's about female manipulation. How female power at that time was gained through the man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And either you manipulated the man or you subjugated yourself to the man.
Mostly subjugated, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's true. The nostalgic rock. We had a show in San Diego and it was those songs. And I remember, I love him. I love him. I love him.
And where he goes, I'll follow. I'll follow. I'll follow. He'll never be. Yeah.
There it is. And yep. that is just, I just remember feeling super repulsed hearing that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Even back then?
Yeah. Oh.
I think it started to change. And I think now, woman's strength is coming out and more authenticity, if you will, in what relationships are supposed to be and what to expect. You know, we all bought this BS and thought that's what marriage was going to be like. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the happy ending.
Right.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, it's the hard beginning.
It's the hard beginning. Yes, right.
Well, yeah. I mean, the words did teach us how to believe.
Fair
what
enough.
To think.
Yeah.
Stand by your man.
Mm-hmm.
It did set an expectation, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it did. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it still happens. I mean, there's still some words and songs that are beckoning and manipulating and, you know, subjugation. It's still there.
Well, and I wonder what those words did for boys. You know, what did they expect? What is love? 5 feet of heaven and a ponytail.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Somebody who's going to worship me.
And
they were.
I don't know that song.
Oh, gosh. Well, that was 60s, 50s, yeah. 60s. Yeah. That kind of thing is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whew.
And then we have fairy tales. Let's talk briefly about fairy tales.
Kind of the same, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. You know, it was Grimm's birthday in April. It's sometime, I think it was last week.
The brothers Grimm?
The brothers
Grimm. Were they both born on the same day?
Well, I don't know. One of them. One of them was born on some day
last
week.
Sorry, I'm being technical.
1,000 years ago.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
1805 to 1875, and it is Hans Christian Andersen. I'm sorry.
Oh, mm-hmm. Not Grimm.
It wasn't
okay.
The Grimms. Yeah, it was Hans Christian Andersen. And he created 168 fairy tales for children, including The Princess and the Pea and The Snow Queen and The Nightingale.
Mm.
But they weren't always such nice stories back then. There was a lot of beheading and cutting of fingers and, you know, adjusting.
Cut.
Yeah.
in general.
Just in general.
Wow. Yeah, there was a lot of cutting. I think they were intended to be morality
stories. For the kids.
Yeah,
they
right.
wanted kids to be moral.
Be afraid.
Be afraid of
to
everything.
To make a mistake. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And then there were some really creepy fairy tales about, there's one called Sun, Moon, and Talia. And it is a precursor to Sleeping Beauty. And in that one, it was published in 1634. And it reads like it's a medieval sort of episode where, or as one author said, it was like the Jerry Springer Show.
Oh my goodness.
The Talia was the daughter of a great lord, and she got a splinter in her finger and all of that happened. But then she fell asleep, and the prince this time came and lifted her in his arms and tasted the fruits of her first love.
Oy.
So yeah, that's called rape?
That's called rape. That's called rape. So then she had twins from that union, if you will. And the king's wife didn't like that, so she kidnapped the twins and ordered her cook to roast them alive. And the cook refused, so the queen decided to burn the kids instead. She burned the little girl. And then the king intercedes and tosses his wife into the flames. And then he and Talia, the other twin, live happily ever after. So
wait, so the mother and the girl twin were burned, but the boy and the king?
No, Talia's the girl.
Oh, Talia's the girl.
Yeah,
okay.
The king's wife. Yeah. And so, you know, that's a tale of incest.
And it is,
yeah.
Isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one about called Penta of the Chopped Off Hands. And this is, you know, this is a tale they told about incest and bestiality. And all of our modern fairy tales, old modern, come from these horrible stories. And somewhere in there, people decided it was a little too much. So they softened them a little bit. But it doesn't change the intent, I think.
Disney. Yeah, Disney. Disney yeah. softened them
yeah.
up.
Yeah. And they're still perpetuating those myths, so
yeah,
they really are.
The pretty princess and the Prince Charming who comes to save the day.
Well, you know, in the real mm-hmm. Cinderella story, in the beginning real Cinderella story, the mother chops off the feet of the stepsisters
so
that they would
fit
in the shoe. And that was fine with everybody, you know? The Little Cinder Girl was a horrible story of gouged out eyes and burned. I mean, these words are vicious in these old stories.
Stephen Sondheim's play, which was Fractured Fairy Tales, basically, or he took a lot of the old fairy tales, and I'm trying, Into the Woods, it was called.
Mm.
And he took a number of those fairy tales and put the old ideas into music. And it's a very interesting, dark play. Into
I haven't
the Woods.
Seen it. Oh, Into the Woods.
Yeah, it's.
Is it a movie, or do you have to find it being performed
somewhere? I don't
somewhere?
Know. It may be. They may have made a movie out of it.
Heidi, do you have any fairy tale things that you remember as a kid? Or
yes. Well, I remember this thing my mom had on the wall, and it was a poem, and it reminds me of this. It's not really a direct fairy tale, but it was a poem about frogs and snails and puppy dog tales.
Oh, and little girls and little boys.
Oh, that's right.
And that
sugar and spice and everything
nice.
You
yes,
got it.
Right.
You
yes.
got it. And so, to me, I remember that so sharply, being this little decoupage thing on our wall. My brother is about a year younger than I am. And I thought, okay, well, here's the expectation, you know, are yeah. so young.
I
did you try to
too.
Live up to that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But then I would go off and play in the mud when it rained. And then my mom would be, what are you doing? You have to go to school. And I'd be like,
so
caked in mud. Yeah. I guess it doesn't end.
You're still caked
yeah, there
in
you
mud,
are.
Heidi.
Can't help it. But yeah, that does strike me.
I never really understood, though, the puppy dog tales. They're made
it.
Of puppy dog. What?
I know, right?
What? It didn't make any sense to me. Sugar and spice, I get.
Sure.
I think it rhymed.
Yeah, that's probably
it.
That
Looking
was the
back,
reason.
It's yeah. totally true. There's a song. I can't remember who does this song. It's from the late 80s or early 90s, and it's this fellow, and it's this guitar-laden song. It's very alternative rock, but he is saying, I will treat you well, my sweet angel, so help me, Jesus. Make up your mind. I'll have you tonight, my blushing bride.
Oh.
My lover, be my lover. But then in the song, he's taking her into the woods to kill her and love her forever as a corpse. And so when I see these and listen to this, it reminds me of that song. And
yes.
He just put it into modern day, but it was that dark, gross thing. And you could just, in the video too, it's like I think he picks up a shell, like a mummy of a woman with this human hair, and he's holding it, and it's like,
a little necrophilia going on.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, yeah.
Creepy.
Oh.
But that's kind of where this goes in my mind. Like,
it
I think
does.
About that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. You know, I think, and this is really Western mythology. This is not really even looking at Eastern or others that may be completely different, because I don't really know. But I'm thinking about the things, the sexual behavior that was acceptable for men back in those days. Necrophilia,
incest.
Pedophilia, incest, that stuff was just kind of okay.
Yeah.
It's just kind of what you did.
Yeah. It's what guys did, because they were top of the food chain and everything else was to be subjugated to the male.
Yeah.
Boom.
It's really interesting. And we're getting a little off topic because we're talking about words, but the words lead us to these places of belief about ourselves, belief about society in general, belief about men. One of the modern ones that I have difficulty with is that song about, hey, baby, is your daddy gone? Did he leave you home all alone?
Oh, yeah. Which song?
Is that Bruce Springsteen?
Oh, it's Bruce Springsteen, I'm on Fire.
Right. Yeah. I'm on Fire. It's a really good song. But when you listen to the words, it's
kind of creepy.
It's kind of creepy.
It's about cheating.
Well, and it's about a young girl.
Yeah.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy gone?
Well, and is he talking about her daddy or her boyfriend?
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, too. I talked with someone young who said, it's her boyfriend. Well, I can say, it's her boyfriend, Mom. So I was asking my sons about it, don't you know?
Right.
But I don't take it that way. You know, it didn't sound that way to me. But I love the rhythm of it.
That's the thing. They're fun songs. The music is great.
True.
And then it just sort of embeds itself in your brain that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, to say nothing of the fact that you look at all the early country Western music. Stand by Your Man. And,
oh, yeah.
You know,
Oh,
that's not very early, but prior
to that.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not that far away.
Exactly.
Well, even country music is coming along, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's all getting better.
I do, too. So speaking of words, and let's talk a little bit about writers and words and famous writers and what they may have said about women.
Oh.
I think... I looked up a bunch of quotes, you know. I mean, I don't know this stuff off the top of my head, in case you were thinking I did. I don't. But I looked up a bunch of quotes about what men writers we love, maybe we abhor, I don't know, but they're famous writers who did very well, and what they said about women. And the one that sticks out to me the most is from Norman Mailer. And he said in 1972 at the University of California in Berkeley, in front of an audience, he said, well, a little bit of rape is good for a man's soul. Mm. You know? Hello?
And he wasn't stoned?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he was speaking in front of an audience.
Oh, I mean as in...
Oh,
killed,
I thought you meant...
Killed with stones, right.
I thought
right,
you meant as in 420. No.
Yeah, right, no.
No, yeah. And Charles Bukowski. I just want to read this. Don't wait for the good woman. She doesn't exist. There are women who can make you feel more with their bodies and their souls, but these are the exact women who will turn the knife into you right in front of the crowd. Of course, I expect this, but the knife still cuts. The female loves to play man against man, and if she is in a position to do it, there is not one who will not resist. The male, for all his bravado and exploration, is the loyal one. The one who generally feels love. The female is skilled at betrayal and torture and damnation. Never envy a man his lady. Behind it all lays a living hell. And he wrote that in a letter to somebody. You know, it's...
You know, that's a guy who... I mean, women...
Well, Bukowski.
Because of the way we have structured our society, there are women who do things like that to men, who take advantage of their...
Oh, yeah. Well, true.
Their
true.
Naivete or their sexual mm-hmm. whatever proclivities. There are plenty of women who take advantage
well,
of that.
Well, that's true.
And guys, you know, naive guys get screwed.
Well, apparently, Bukowski had kind of a rough go.
Apparently, he had a, yeah.
Didn't
yeah.
look like
bad
he was
experience.
Getting much.
Yeah. You guys have any?
Sorry.
You don't have any.
I'm looking at the ones that you had, and it was T.S. Eliot, there are only a half dozen men of letters and no women worth printing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 1922. So, you know, really, when you look at it, that's not that long ago.
It's
I mean, it's 100 years ago, but no. it's not, that's recent history.
In the scope of eternity, no.
You know, women have always been behind men, and we're coming out now in the forefront, I think, in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
But do you know that this year is the 50th anniversary of women being able to get their own credit card without their husband's signature?
Yeah.
I remember, I didn't know anything about this. And my mom, I was in Phoenix with my mom and my sister, and we went out to lunch, and my mom insisted on paying, and I wanted to buy lunch for everybody, you know, and she said, no, I'm buying lunch. And I said, why? And she got her wallet out and took her credit card out, and she said, I got a credit card in my own name without your dad's signature. And at the time, I thought, well, what's the big deal? It did not register mm-hmm. to me that had been... an issue for women.
It's a very big deal.
Yeah, it was. And that's recent.
That's crazy, huh?
Mm-hmm. It is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Or sometimes you couldn't get a bank checking account or, you know, certainly not a loan.
When I left husband number two, I could not buy a car on my own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had to rent it.
For long term?
You had to rent it long term?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
That's crazy.
So what era? Was that 70s?
That was late 80s.
Wow. See?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
In Illinois. God bless Illinois.
Let's change the tide just a little bit.
Okay.
But before that.
Oh.
Might as well.
Heidi's waving her arms over here at me about something.
I think it's our...
We're going to do a little underwriter.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Support for Voice of Vashon is provided by Palouse Winery. Award-winning wines are available for tasting on their covered patio noon to 5 Friday through Sunday. For private event inquiries, to see the music schedule, or to make a reservation, visit PalouseWinery.com.
This portion of Voice of Vashon programming is brought to you by PSCCU, proud to be Washington's Green Credit Union. Practicing socially responsible banking by supporting sustainability, job creation, local economies, communities statewide, and our environment. Learn more at psccu.org.
And we are back. Thank you to our underwriters.
Thank you. Let's change the tide just a little bit.
Okay.
And talk about women. Let's see. There's a lot of women in our world who have been hurt by words, by other people's words.
Yes.
And I think they're, it's interesting to talk about what has happened.
Yes.
To women who've been hurt by modern words, modern
or
ideas.
Taken back their power with those words.
Right.
Like, is it Cardi B who does WAP and has a song at the top of the charts? And she's talking about her wet beep, beep down there.
Really?
And it's almost like a chart topper. And so WAP is the, you know, acronym. You put that together, the WAP. And she's so proud of her WAP because it's so wet and throbbing.
Is that right? Oh, my God.
And juicy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And juicy and fecund. See? Well, let's get those words flowing.
Fecund is a good one. You know that?
Is a good word.
I want to go back to another word.
Yeah.
Do you know who Stuart Woods is? He wrote Desperate Measures.
No.
I've never read it.
Okay.
But in there, he says, Dino put his feet up and chatted for a couple of minutes. Then he put down the phone and returned to the table. Okay, he said. The me confirms his first estimate of the ME, medical examiner.
I see.
First estimate of time of death. The girl had a tiny purse tucked into her vagina.
Uh-huh.
Just big enough to hold her driver's license, a credit card, and a few bucks.
Ugh.
Her name is Elizabeth Sweeney. And the person he was talking to says, well, where does she live? Oh my God. So, you know, the idea there is we really, that's why we don't have pockets in our pants, because we've got purses in our vaginas.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a new concept.
It is a new concept, isn't
yes.
it? Yeah. I just thought I'd bring that up. Now, let's go back to what you were talking about,
no.
Heidi.
I had a cousin whose girlfriend, they were both heroin addicts living in my grandma's house.
Oh, my goodness.
He would send her over the border to get junk, and she would put it in her junk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
To bring it back over, and she got caught one time.
Did she?
Fortunately, they left in, well, she went to rehab, and he eventually went to rehab. Yay.
I think that's pretty common. I don't think it happens very much anymore because they catch people. I mean, they have...
Because they do full-body searches. Yeah.
Nasty searches now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Purse. Vagina.
So some of the women that have been damaged by words and are overcoming that. That's mm-hmm. it. Heidi?
Yes. Monica Lewinsky, maybe?
Yeah. How about Monica?
You know, I follow her on Twitter, and she has definitely found her strength through just owning the turd, if you will.
She really has. I mean, she's speaking out about it, and yeah. she talks about how humiliated and embarrassed she was for 1,000 years since
yeah.
it happened.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Definitely.
You know?
And she's come through it, and she is encouraging women to get your careers. And I mean, it's all the things you look back and kick yourself in the butt over. She's just trying to preempt that for other young women that don't, she doesn't want them to follow in her footsteps. That's the theme of her tweets in
mm-hmm.
general. She's very, like you said, she's very positive. She works hard. She does a lot of speaking engagements, and she's doing well. And it makes me happy just to see her lift herself up and come through it, because I was sure she was still living in obscurity, but she's not.
She isn't. And she's modeling now, which she said she never thought she would ever do. I saw some spread somewhere in some magazine.
Well, I'm looking on her. I pulled her up on the internet, and there's some beautiful photos of her modeling and just being a strong woman who has risen above it all. There was a quote in a film that I recently saw, and it was the film called Scoop, and it was about the folks in Britain on the BBC who got Prince Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
Who basically caught him on his friendship with Epstein and sex with underage girls.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman who played the tough journalist who questioned him said she wanted to cover Monica Lewinsky, who, because Bill Clinton was connected to Epstein a lot,
too.
And you hear very little about that.
Right.
But she said Monica Lewinsky got all the attention and spent 8 years of humiliation, whereas Bill Clinton...
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you see the memes that are on the internet now, juxtaposing Melania and Hillary and saying both were cheated on, both were first ladies. You don't hear people asking Melania, why didn't you leave him like they did to Hillary?
Yeah, mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's obvious.
It's obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Melania didn't run for president either.
That's true, too. That's true.
I really admire Monica Lewinsky. I have to say, when she was going through all of that, I felt really, really sorry for her. I just thought, oh, my God, she was such a victim.
Yeah.
And there were even women who were saying, well, she should have known. She, nay, 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 you know, and I just don't get it. It's the male power and the president of the United States.
Yeah, come on.
The Oval Office.
Yeah.
I mean,
she
was 20?
22.
She was
22.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah, she was so young.
Yeah.
I canceled my subscription to the Seattle Times then because of the way they were covering her.
You did?
Yes, yes. And I have refused to go back.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, Susan.
Oh, Susan. Fist in air, Susan.
She means it.
She means it. She's got it going on, that girl.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
I think in industry, too, there are women coming up through the ranks now that didn't before, like firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
They're, nationally, I read somewhere that there's a 10% increase in women firefighters coming up through the ladder.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And there's an especially good situation in Minnesota. You know, Minnesota women pride themselves on their strength and their kind of audacious women. They seem to be very quiet and demure, Midwest kind of Minnesota nice.
Scandinavian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But boy, they are strong and talented. And there's a fire captain in Duluth who wants more women because they're flexible in their way they think about things and they're team workers and they create. And so he's on a mission to bring more women into the firefighting industry, which I think is pretty cool.
There's another statistic that strikes me, and that is there are more women now graduating from college than men by some significant percentage.
You know, I read something about that. Yeah, that's interesting
amazing.
Too.
Keep it going, ladies. We love it.
And then psychologists come up and say, and the men just don't know what to do. They don't know where they fit anymore.
Right alongside women, just doing whatever.
That's right.
And women in science.
Yeah.
Women in science are wailing, and that's kind of been happening for a long time, except that back in the day, nobody would write about them or talk about them. They didn't get the credit for the work that they did.
No, they did the work,
and somebody else
guy put his name on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not the case quite so often anymore, except that I can't quote this, and I'm really sorry, but I have to talk about it anyway.
Yeah.
I read an article in The Atlantic about a woman scientist who went to Antarctica, and it's a grueling read. It's wonderful if you get a chance. It's in the brand new Atlantic, and it talks about her experience going to literally the ends of the earth and having to be physically ready for that challenge and the way that you have to prepare for it. It talks a lot about that. Mm-hmm. And then she got there, and her male superior sexually harassed her for 3 years.
Oh.
And there was nothing that she could do. You know, she's working toward a certain PhD or a certain mile marker in her career. Mm-hmm. And to this day, she did not feel like she could call him out on it because she would lose her career. And it's a fabulous article.
It's a common story, too.
It is a common story. And on the other end, there are a lot of women in science who are doing really well. Mm-hmm. But I guess what I'm saying is it's not over.
No.
By any stretch.
No. Military, you think you hear those stories all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do. All
Man.
The time.
Yeah.
It's
rough.
Oh, I know. Beyonce.
What about her?
Yeah.
I've never been a Beyonce fan. I don't really, I mean, I don't not like her. Mm-hmm. I just have been very neutral. It doesn't matter to me because it's not my music. But this new album of hers, which is called Cowboy Carter, is unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I listened to the whole thing, and it's mesmerizing to hear her sing these old tunes and some new that we used to know. Dolly Parton, she sings Jolene on there, and it's a totally different Jolene than Dolly's. Totally different. I think in there she changed a couple words, too. But Dolly Parton said publicly that she doesn't feel like she can sing it anymore because Beyonce was so good at it.
Aww.
And now there's a woman who's breaking barriers.
Yes, she has all kinds of barriers.
I mean, fashion and money and, you know, and Taylor Swift is a billionaire now.
Yeah.
Color. She's a black woman doing incredible things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she's doing, you know, talking about crossing traditions and crossing lines.
Definitely. The genre is so different, and she's taking her fan base with her and exposing them to another genre. It's really cool.
Yeah, she is.
Go Beyonce, Queen
Bee. She's showing us how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other women you can think of off the top of your heads that that we want to admire right now?
I mean, Julia Child.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a big barrier to break for her in France, because French chefs,
oh my Lord, yeah.
You know, she did it. I still wonder if she was a spy.
Wow.
Really?
Well, she was with the intelligence in Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, but she didn't talk. Yeah, she doesn't talk about it.
That could be.
Yeah, could be.
Man, that's a story.
Well, yeah, it's been written. I just haven't read it.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. That one just kind of pops up, but there are many. There's, you know, Marie Curie.
Mm-hmm.
Again, science.
Mm-hmm.
But there's many. We talked about Katherine Johnson before, who worked at NASA in the 60s.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
She definitely won.
Yeah.
Stands out for me. Yeah.
You know, this is, Heidi, you'll appreciate this, but one of the women I think of who breaks barriers is your mermaid friend. I've forgotten her name. The ice mermaid.
Oh, Melissa.
Melissa is breaking barriers in swimming. And have you seen her PBS special called?
No.
Ice Mermaid.
Ice Mermaid on PBS. She's a friend of Heidi's and they swim together. And she trains by sitting in a bathtub of ice.
Yes.
And she swims in the ice. It's an amazing thing. And she has broken many barriers, including physical barriers, because she's not, you know, 5'7 and 110 pounds. Mm-hmm. She's a large woman and she swims like nobody's business, and it's all in cold water. She talks so much about how the water tells her what to do, and she wears two-piece bathing suits, even though most people would think it wasn't very attractive. She wears those because she's closer to the water, and she can hear the water better.
Perfect.
The water tells her what to do when it's on her skin.
Oh, wow.
It's just amazing, and I think there's a modern-day local woman.
Yeah.
She's from here?
She is. She lives in Sammamish and she works for Amazon and she's a compliance officer and she is absolutely amazing. She started out just doing local races in Michigan. She just did swim team and then did her first open water event maybe 8 or 9 years ago. Trained, did her thing, ended up swimming the Triple Crown, English Channel, Catalina Channel, and why am I blanking? Around Manhattan in New York.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Gee-man-y.
Yeah. And then said, what can I do next? Because after you do these big events, you kind of fall into a bit of a rabbit hole of depression because you do these.
And
then it's like, okay, now what?
Now what? Now who am I?
So the ice water became her next challenge, and she endeavored to be the first person in America to swim a 2.25 kilometer ice swim. That's 41 degrees, 5 Celsius or lower.
Where do they do that?
She did it at Lake Desire in Renton in the winter.
So well, and what in the movie, she was trying to do it in Alki one day because it was 30 degrees.
Yeah, that was her qualifier.
The water's 42 degrees or something. And it was a snowstorm, and she couldn't get in the water, so they had to delay it because it was way too rough. And she considered it. She stood up there in her swimming suit and considered it.
In her two-piece swimming suit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her bikini. Wow. And the obstacle in the movie, or the documentary, I should say.
Yes, documentary.
Was that her doctor said, no, you cannot.
You can't swim. You're too fat.
You're too fat. You're going to have a heart attack. You're setting yourself up for a cardiac event. And she went to her old doctor because she had just started at Amazon. So she went to found her old physician and he signed off on it for her. And she was able to do this record-breaking swim, which I was on the crew. I did the timing.
I saw you in the documentary.
Did you see
me? I saw
you
there. Yeah.
Well, now I have to watch it.
Oh, you do. It's really good.
But now she's gone. They picked up this documentary for the Ocean International. It's called Ocean Film Tour.
I didn't know that.
She flew to Vienna to this beautiful old historic theater. It was packed wall to wall, and people were crying their eyes out when they watched it, signing autographs. Like,
oh, Melissa, congratulations.
Crazy.
It's really something to see.
So thank
that
you for bringing
inspiring.
Her up.
Yeah. That is fabulous.
Yeah.
She's so cool, and she's so humble, and she's got a sort of a Michigan Midwestern accent and always is shameless about the donuts. Like, you're going to have a donut. Enjoy the donut.
Enjoy the donut. Eat it.
Just eat
it's
the donut.
It's okay. And she makes no bones about it.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to have a salad when she gets out of the water.
That's right.
You know, she wants something strong and a big old piece of pie or a donut or something that's just carbs and sugar.
You are getting a gold star from Melissa 101.
Oh,
yeah.
Well done.
Well, I've watched it twice. I'm going to watch it again.
I watched it again.
I got to catch up.
Ice Mermaid, KCTS9, Passport.
It's really good.
It's worth checking out.
You know, this brings up, too, that we have women on Vashon that are breaking barriers, too.
Yes.
We have farmer women.
Yes.
We have farmer women and women doctors and women diggers.
Women who are running businesses.
Women firefighters here, too.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Of course.
So, you know, we're evolving on Vashon.
Absolutely.
We certainly are.
There's some good stuff going on. Go get them, girls.
You had that last question on
what?
The list, Linda. What is the best advice your dad or your mom gave you
that
you did not
heed? That you never took?
Yeah.
Oh, that you didn't use. I want to hear yours.
Mine?
Yeah.
My dad was from Tennessee, mm-hmm. and I was supposed to be a Southern Belle.
Oh,
my. And he would tell me, now, you can be smart, but don't be smarter than those boys.
Oh.
Which is advice I did not follow.
You did not.
Because I decided if some guy is intimidated by me, or if he can't keep up with me mentally, why would I be interested
why?
In him?
Why do I? Yeah.
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 That's good.
What about you guys?
Mine was, the one thing I remember that I did take that I think is very succinct and good advice for anybody in the entire universe, and he said, do not ever go where you need to cover your tracks.
Oh, that's a good one. That's
any
a
way,
very
shape,
good
or form.
One.
And then when I was struggling in college and not knowing what I wanted to do, and I wanted to quit college, and I just wanted to play and I didn't want to do anything, he said, well, you better get a job with the government because you'll have a good retirement. And I was insulted, completely insulted.
Aww.
Because, you know, I couldn't be the clerk and recorder at the county. That's what he was talking about. Get a job with the county.
Right.
You know,
right.
But I look at the women now who had got jobs with the county and did that, and they're retired very well and they're
comfortably,
you know, doing well. But that's the best advice he ever gave me that I did not take.
That's good advice.
It was good advice.
Well, but, you know, how did you spend the time between getting that advice and actually being retired? What kind of, you know, what kind of life, like, do you have?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I did a lot of other
things. You don't get the life. Yeah.
I did a lot of other things.
Heidi, what about you?
Well, it's similar to Linda's dad. My dad, I remember him saying, save the max that you can if you have a job that has a 401k.
Did he? Put
away the top percent. Uh-huh. I didn't do it all the time, but there were some times when I did do it, and boy, that money grew.
Yeah. It does grow.
It does.
That's the thing. I have a friend who, we were talking about money the other day, and she said, all my life, I have paid myself first. And sometimes my bills are late, and sometimes I can't make the payment this month, but I get paid. And she's retired very well, all by herself.
Okay.
So,
words to life to live by.
Mm-hmm. Pay yourself first.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
I do too.
That's good.
And then I want to say this just funny thing about Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah.
This has nothing to do with anything we have talked about. Mike Tyson is selling ear-shaped edibles. Do you know where that comes from?
Yeah,
he bit off somebody's ear.
Yeah. And I guess maybe it does have something to do with what we're talking about, because it's a silly man doing a silly thing, but he's making money.
Is he making money at it? Yeah,
money,
it's not so silly. There's an audience out there.
You can look it up. If you can order some if you want.
I wonder if the ear is modeled after Evander Holyfield's.
I wonder if it is.
Actual
like
ear.
Did he bite his whole ear off, or did he just take a chunk?
He took a chunk.
I think he just took a
chunk.
So
I wondered if the edible ear just has a chunk out of it, or if it's an actual real ear. I think I might have to order some.
Was it Holyfield? It wasn't Lennox Lewis.
No.
Okay.
No, it was Holyfield.
What a disaster. Mike Tyson really has grown up a lot since that time. He seems much more chill and humble and adjusted.
It's still funny.
I still worry about him like I worry about a pit bull.
Exactly.
It's so cute and sweet and, you know, everybody loves it.
And haven't you seen him on interviews where he's just the dearest thing?
Yes.
And you just want to hug him and say, just your darling. And then he's got this other side.
You want to run.
And that is a pit bull kind of trait.
Like in the Hangover movie, that character, that's kind of the Mike Tyson that I think is the actual Mike Tyson. But apparently Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess what, ladies? We're almost at the end. I was seeing that.
What a fun conversation. Thank you, Susan. And thank you, Heidi.
Thank you all. And thank you, listeners.
Yes. Thank you for tuning in. And we will see you on the second Tuesday of May. I don't know what we're going to talk about then, but we'll find something, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
So there's always something to talk about.
Have a good month. Enjoy spring and be kind.
You're listening to KVSH LP
on Vashon Island.